We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybe here. Show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. To the listener, I want you to know that I appreciate you, and I'm thrilled to have you here for another amazing episode. If there's ever anything that I can do to support you, please reach out. That being said, LinkedIn is the channel that you can find me most active on. Just search for Lori Hybe. You can simply click the follow button as I post daily information about marketing strategy, tips, all podcast episodes, and any upcoming events you might see me at. If you'd like to connect, make sure to send a note with your connection request that references Social Capital. That being said, Social Capital Podcast is sponsored by Keystone Click, a strategic digital marketing agency that believes in order to successfully market to your ideal customer, you first need to understand your customer. You can learn more at KeystoneClick.com. The topic of relationships ties in very closely with marketing. That's why I'm bringing marketing experts with a variety of backgrounds onto this show for you to learn and grow from. Today's guest is Bobby Bainey. Bobby is the founder and CEO of Think Big, Go Local, a digital marketing agency that helps small businesses succeed in their local communities by leveraging the power of online marketing. With over 15 years of experience in entrepreneurship, marketing, and small business development, Bobby has a passion for helping small businesses grow and thrive and has worked with hundreds of clients to develop successful marketing strategies. In her current role, Bobby leads a team of digital marketing experts who provide personalized support to small businesses. She's done a TEDx talk, has been featured in Inc. magazine, Huffington Post, and more, and is a regular speaker at conferences and events, sharing her expertise and insights with audiences around the country. Bobby, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lori. Such a great opportunity to be here.
I'm excited to have you here, especially because you and I are in the same space, which is fun because it's going to be a meaty conversation, I have a feeling.
Excellent. I like it.
So let's dive in. From your perspective, what are the top three trends that small business owners should consider integrating into their marketing mix right now?
So there are so many things and so many trends we could talk about, but there are a few that I think are top of the list that I wanted to discuss. So first is something we're hearing so much about, and that's artificial intelligence, right? How to use AI effectively. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about that as we dive into some other questions. But I think that that is definitely one of the things small businesses need to keep top of mind, because one of the challenges I hear so frequently from my customers is the bandwidth to do all the things that need to be done in their business. And as a small business owner, sometimes you don't have a team built yet. And so really figuring out how to make the most effective use of your time so that you can run your business and market it effectively is really kind of top of the list for me. The second thing, which has been a thing for a while, but it's just not going away, is video. So I think for a while, we were all really talking a lot about short form vertical video, Reels, TikTok, and those are so relevant. But I also think business owners need to definitely step back and notice a couple of things. One, there's still so many small businesses not leveraging the power of YouTube. For whatever things are holding them back, it is still such a prominent platform. And we're finding that a lot of people we talk to are using YouTube in such different ways that you have such a larger opportunity to leverage that. So as an example, my attention span's gotten so small because I pretty much only watch YouTube on my smart TV. I've kind of forsaken regular television because I can go to YouTube and get the small sound bites for the things I want to know and that I'm looking to learn so quickly. And it's opened up an entire new market for YouTube content. I also think that people need to realize for a while there, we were talking about really short videos. So a TikTok video, 8 to 15 seconds, right? Or you couldn't keep anyone's attention. These platforms are starting to incentivize creators for doing longer videos, so a minute or more. So I think in 2024, we're going to start to see the length of those shorter vertical videos start to shift a little more. So instead of just those little bite size, they're looking to give their audience a little more robust content. So small business owners should be paying attention to those kinds of changes so they can kind of get in the favor of those algorithms and actually just be putting out more content that the platforms want to show to more people. And then finally, and this is a place that I think too many small businesses aren't leveraging, and that's paid promotion. It is so difficult for a small business that doesn't have a ton of name recognition or brand recognition yet to actually get their content seen. So as marketers, you and I know, Facebook doesn't show anything on a business page to anybody if they can help it. They're in the game of wanting a business to pay for that type of attention. And yet so many business owners either aren't doing it or they're not doing it right because they've only extended their knowledge base to how to hit that blue button and boost a post versus getting into ad manager and actually learning to develop a variety of different types of campaigns, leverage different types of audiences and all the tools that Meta is offering. And the same goes, you know, in other platforms as well, depending who your audience is. So I think AI, video, and paid promotion are things that every small business really needs to incorporate into their strategy going forward, just to maximize their opportunity for visibility, reach, exposure, and to grow that audience that they're all looking for.
Yeah, wow. 100% agree with all of these things. I mean, AI is something that's moving extremely fast right now. If you're not paying attention to what's happening with AI, you're going to quickly fall behind. You know, you can't stay up to date with everything that's happening, but every business, everyone that's sitting at a computer for your job, you have to be at least playing with the tools or understanding the value that it can bring at the end of the day. Extremely valuable piece of advice there. Totally agree with that. Yeah, video. I love that you took the approach of like what's happening from a short term versus short snippets versus long form content. I've always been a fan of the long form content approach because it's so much easier to slice and dice into the smaller chunks. But you're right. So many businesses aren't really taking advantage of YouTube. YouTube is owned by Google. Leverage the tools that Google is giving you to get found in their platform.
Absolutely. I found it really interesting. I also teach college level classes at a couple local community colleges. And when TikTok recently announced that they were ending their, what they had called the creator fund, which was really incentivizing creators more for short form, you know, short videos, and they're relaunching that, I forget what they're calling it, the creative, it's similar to creator fund with just a slight variation on the name, but they're only looking to incentivize videos over a minute. So I had asked my class, because I find this to be really interesting how it's going to play out, how they felt about watching longer videos on TikTok. And it was a really mixed response. So some people were like, well, I love that I can watch 10 short videos in a minute. It would really change my interaction on there if the videos were longer. But at the same time, if they're entertaining, you know, if they're educating you on something, then they're going to stay connected. So it'll be really interesting to watch how creators kind of adopt this new trend that some of these platforms are really kind of pushing us into.
Yeah, I love that. And then the third one, the paid promotion. I mean, this is something that I would say, I mean, they're all extremely important, but really, if you want that exposure, you want to get in front of your audience. The beauty of the technology today is that you can put your ad right in front of your target audience.
Exactly.
Why would you not pay for that?
I know. And I'm always telling clients the same thing. And, you know, even LinkedIn is an example. I think their advertising is a lot more expensive than others, mm-hmm. but it's really all about like knowing your audience and where they live, right?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
you know, a big investment in a platform like LinkedIn for advertising, knowing exactly who you're talking to, could have such a huge payoff. So I really think everybody needs to really think about, where are my people at? Who am I trying to reach out to? And then not even thinking about investing into marketing if you're not really ready to do that.
Yeah. And I would put the little asterisk here that the biggest mistake that I see small businesses make when it comes to playing with paid is that they're going straight for the sale as opposed to focusing on building that brand awareness first.
Yes, absolutely. Nobody really cares about the logo, right? Like they want to know who the people are and feel connection. I think that a lot of times in social media marketing, especially, business owners are thinking about their bottom line and what their goals are in the platform instead of thinking about building those relationships and having people remember you when they have the need to hire you because you've offered so much value to them in the past or whatever that value may be. But yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Love that. So what social media platform do you plan on using more right now?
So I have never been a big fan of LinkedIn. When it came out, I've been doing this digital marketing thing for quite a while, and it just was no fun. That was just the way it was. And I was having so much fun in the other platforms. And it's ridiculous and shame on me because I am a B2B organization, so that should be my place, but I just never enjoyed it. And over the last couple of years, it has expanded to be such a phenomenal platform with so many fantastic tools, things like events and live streaming and just really wonderful. And so I tried to jump in a little bit last year and get more active, but this is the year I'm going all in on our LinkedIn marketing and pushing myself out of my comfort zone into a platform that I didn't always enjoy and didn't adopt quite the same way as I did the others. My audience lives there, and that's where we need to be. So we're going to be leveraging some of those great new tools that they've launched over the past couple of years and spending a lot more time there.
I love LinkedIn. Yeah. Yeah, I'm on it daily. I post on it daily. I probably spend on average, I'd say 1 to 2 hours a day on LinkedIn, like throughout the day collectively.
And that's where I found you. So it works.
Yeah, indeed. Most definitely. And I started a LinkedIn newsletter recently, kind of playing with the tools. I'm going to start dabbling with some of their paid components as well. But 100%, if B2B is your space, LinkedIn is the obvious channel to be on.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the things I do this in my college class is it's a requirement. We spend a week where everybody has to go Google their own names and see what kind of information is out there. And inevitably, your LinkedIn is going to show up first. That is almost, I would say, 80% of the time. And so even if you, you know, if you're looking to build a brand, build a business, have some credibility, you need to be in that platform and make sure that it's always current, always optimized. Because if somebody in the digital age we live in, before your phone rings, someone's already looked you up and probably already made a decision whether they want to work with you or not. And if your LinkedIn just isn't really where it should be, it could be a huge missed opportunity just from the perspective of search when someone's looking to learn something more about you.
Yeah. So when I taught students at the local university, I would spend a whole session talking about LinkedIn and how important that is. And it's not just a resume. There's opportunity to really be positioned as setting yourself up to be perceived as what you want to be known for. And I think that's the most important part.
Absolutely. That was very well put.
Thank you so much. What's your top piece of advice for getting more attention and growing an audience on social media?
Okay, so this one is a little bit twofold, I think, for me. So I think for getting that attention, right, like that piece of it, I think my biggest piece of advice, especially for small business owners, is you have to show up consistently and be authentically yourself. So I have heard every excuse from every different vertical of business owner as to why they can't do live streaming, why they don't want to make videos on YouTube. You know, a lot of it has to do with fear, maybe a little bit of self-doubt, you know, creating this kind of hesitation. And I would say that people are desperately seeking authenticity and connection, especially in social media. When it first launched, we were just all in to communicate with people, you know, through all these different platforms. And over time, I think we've all kind of started to miss the true connection and have all become pretty aware of some of the inauthenticities that happen in social media, right? The filters and the, oh, life is beautiful when, you know, we're all facing a lot of the same challenges. So I would say if you're really trying to build up that audience and increase visibility, you've got to show up, you've got to be authentically you, and you've got to do it in a consistent way. And the more people can see your face, hear your voice, especially in a small business where you may not have a huge workforce, I think the more connected they're going to feel. And so to me, that is really probably one of the most important things. But then kind of secondary to kind of working more efficiently in the growth piece of it, I'm going to go back to AI a little bit, because I think it's so important, as you mentioned, for business owners to really learn what are its capabilities, how can I use it even at a basic level to help me grow my business or to take things off my plate that this tool could literally help me to create. So some of my favorite ways to use AI on a daily basis is I love brainstorming on AI. Mm-hmm. No matter what I'm doing, like I could be doing an event and it'll give me a list of 20 potential event names. There's so many different ways when a question pops in your mind to go in there and ask it. I also love to start there when I'm creating copy. And I say start there because there's a couple of things I'm going to talk about in terms of things that I get a little bit concerned about. So I never copy what AI gives me and paste it right into a post because I'm afraid we'll lose our voice if we do that. But it's a great place to start for copy, whether it's for a social media post, a blog post, a script for a reel or YouTube. So you can go in and do a little editing versus creating things completely from scratch, which is really time consuming. And then we've been using it for graphics as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're fantastic. Sometimes they're horrible. Again, you have to be pretty conscious about maintaining your brand. But there's just some really easy ways to use these tools. And like I said, at the entry level. And then as you get more comfortable, you can do more research and kind of level it up. But a couple things I do want to say about that, just because I think that there's some real concerns about it. And because this podcast is all about building relationships and trust, you need to make sure that you are, one, keeping your voice. So a couple ways to do that is, one, just going in and editing whatever they provide to you to make sure that it sounds like the other content that you've created, the voice that you're using when you're talking with customers. A little bit more advanced is you can actually train your AI tools by really describing to them in detail who you are, what you do, who your ideal client is, what your brand is. And they may be more accurate when they give you results based on that, but definitely making sure that you're really cautious to maintain your brand through the process. Because if it seems inauthentic, and I've seen this happen a lot, I've started to realize I'm getting pretty good at identifying, not just in social media, but from my students as well, what sounds inauthentic. Or when all of a sudden you see that shift from what you're used to hearing to kind of a new way of saying things that doesn't feel like that person anymore. Mm-hmm. The last thing we want to do is create connection and then have people pull away from us because it doesn't feel authentic.
Yeah, totally.
And then finally, and I've even put myself in this situation, is always remembering that it's not always accurate. So you may ask it questions, it may give you answers, and that doesn't mean they're right. So I had kind of a funny situation once. I was doing a trivia question and it gave me a list of trivia questions. And of course, I picked the one that actually wasn't even true. And had to go back and, you know, and get rid of that. But be really cautious because it's pulling from a variety of different tools to provide you with information and they're not always right. So I think that's important for people to think about as well.
Yeah, no, I love everything that you were sharing there. And, you know, AI, so powerful. I love it and use it daily as well. Love it for the ideation and definitely 100% agree with don't take the copy and paste and publish approach, because it's definitely obvious as you start to use AI, you start to get familiar with the tone of the voice. And unless you're manipulating that tone with your prompts within the tools itself, it's going to have that same voice. So I can see on social media what posts were crafted by AI, and it's very obvious to me. And I think the more that people are using it, the less that it's that type of content is going to connect and resonate with us, right? And that goes back to your first point of be your authentic self, be true to who you are. And that personality is what's going to connect and resonate with that ideal audience that you want to be working with.
Absolutely. And I am certain if you and I can look at content and identify that, oh, that looks like it was written with AI, eventually algorithms, search engines are going to do the same thing.
Sure.
And you're going to limit your reach because that's not the kind of content that they've ever really wanted to have in the platform. So I think that there's that side of it that small business owners who maybe aren't thinking the tech side quite as much could also risk is just an overall limitation to your reach and exposure.
Yeah, 100%. And I wanted to share with you on the comment of it's not always right, because that's so true. I asked it to write a bio about me, which I thought was kind of fun to do, just playing with the tool, which I advocate everyone does. It made me sound freaking amazing, but a third of it was inaccurate information.
I did the same exact thing, and it was one of the best bios I've ever had written for me. But there was a whole line about the massive tech companies I've worked for. I'm like, never did that. Yeah. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it said that I won all these major awards. I'm like, yeah, I didn't, but
I was just impressed that when I asked it to write about me, that it actually could pull anything together. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even, I just gave it the name of my company, and I need a bio for this particular thing. And I was like, well, at least that's impressive.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So here's a fun one. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh gosh. When I think about this, I think what I would do, and I actually think about some of the influencers that have been really impactful for me over the years. And I think if I was going to do this all again, probably the one thing I would do would be a very early adopter into these platforms. As soon as they launched, jump in, make a profile, figure it out, test it out. When YouTube launched, had I done that, instead of watching and waiting, the size of the audience I would have built when there wasn't all that competition and other distractions, right? Same with TikTok. I watched that for a long time, not as long as other people who still haven't gotten in. I think early adoption of a platform, whether it's sustainable or not, but if it is, you may have a gold mine because you have attracted an audience while you didn't have other people vying for their attention. So I think had I looked earlier, that would have probably been the biggest change I would have made, was just no hesitation, just deciding if this is the path I'm going down, this is what I want to do. I'm going to go all in. I'm not going to let fear guide me. I'm not going to let self-doubt guide me. I'm going to jump in and figure this out, because I think the rewards for that are huge.
Yeah, it's that self-doubt. Goodness. That gets in the way, right? It's just an interesting, we're not good enough, to do the thing that everyone else is just learning at this very same time, right? Like, that doesn't even make sense.
Right? It doesn't. And the thing is, these platforms change so fast. And I can remember I was an executive marketing director before I opened my business. And at that time, Facebook was pretty young, and we were serving a teenage young adult population, and that's who was on Facebook. And the people, the powers that be in that organization, oh, it's a fad. We don't need to waste our time. It's only popular today. It's going to go away. Had they launched their platform in that space, I mean, at that time, there weren't even business pages, so you didn't even have that kind of competition. Everybody was kind of equal on the platform. They would have gained so much early traction with the audience that they were looking for. By the time they decided that this platform made sense, that audience had moved on to something else. And now they had to completely rethink, well, who are we reaching out to here? What's our goal with them? Where they really would have gotten a lot of traction early had they just dove in. If it didn't work, it doesn't work. But if it does, it can make a big difference.
Love that. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask me a question. You get to be in charge of the interview for a minute here. What do you want to ask?
Oh, so being that LinkedIn is really on my list this year, I would love to hear your thoughts on what some of the most important best practices in that platform are.
Ooh, that's a fun question. And there's a lot, but I'll try to be concise as I'm winging it here. So first, making sure that your profile is indeed set up and properly optimized. So LinkedIn gives you a ton of information fields, basically. And you probably know this. I mean, in general, any social media profile, you want to maximize filling out the fields as much as possible, right? But really setting yourself up to be perceived the way you want to be perceived. So if you have past jobs that don't really resonate with what you're trying to do now, it doesn't make sense to add them to your profile or even talk about them. Focus on where you want to be known and make it personal. It's not a resume. My profile talks about my Batman collection and that I play hockey. You'd be surprised how many people have commented like, oh, you play hockey. That's so fun. And so tell me about your Batman collection. Like, people read these. Okay. And it's an easy opener for a conversation then. So definitely making it personal. When it comes to building your engagement and following, it's not just about you posting information, but it's about you actually being part of the community. And that includes commenting on other people's posts and then commenting on other people's comments as well. And acknowledging that you agree or disagree. I mean, you don't want to start a fight and make it ugly, but just really kind of sharing your opinion from a professional standpoint. When you're connecting with individuals, don't just hit the connect button, but always add a message. And I even said that in the introduction, if you're reaching out to connect, just mention that you've heard me on Social Capital. It gives me some insight as to why you're interested in connecting, but it also makes me more interested into following through and accepting that connection request. So I think it's important to post on a consistent schedule and focus on adding value in your posting. I have a very specific, like, this is what I post on Mondays. This is what I post on Tuesdays. This is what I post on Wednesdays. And I, for the most part, have the entire year planned already for content. I mean, there's room to make adjustments, but, you know, I'm a big fan of planning in advance so that it's easy to focus on the execution when the time comes. But consistency is going to be where you're really going to build your audience from there.
Those are great. We're always saying it's not a resume. But you saying don't put unrelated jobs on there, that's really powerful. I really appreciate that one because I think people try to put everything on there to show that they were working, thinking that they can't have gaps. But in all reality, the only things that really matter are what do you want to be found for and what do you want to do today, right? So that's great advice.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I've got other roles before I started my agency and I only focus within like the description of those roles, things that relate and pertain to what I'm doing today. I don't put that I was the administrative assistant at a marketing agency way back when, and I used to answer the phones and do the billing. No one cares about that. Right, I talk about the stuff that makes sense. Like, oh, well, I did SEO before SEO was even an acronym that anyone knew.
Yeah.
You know, so that put the stuff that adds value and really you have control over how you're being perceived, and that's a great place to maximize that percentage of control that you have.
Absolutely. And I also love the personal one too. I have had, just like you had mentioned, like they're great conversation starters, but they also really create connection. I'm a pit bull mom. I've rescued my last 3 or 4 pit bulls have been rescues. And when people see that, and they've maybe done the same thing, you immediately have a relationship and something to talk about and they feel connected and they remember you. So I think a lot of people feel like they have to keep it so high level professional. And then you kind of miss out on those opportunities to say, what are the daily, day-to-day things in my life that connect us together, you know, that would help us to understand each other or have something else to talk about. So I think that's really important too.
Well, thank you. All right. So that was a fun question. Great question. I appreciate you asking me that. Do you have any final words of wisdom that you want to share with our listeners?
You know, I think this also goes back to authenticity a lot, but I think that one thing a lot of business owners do is they want to be all things to all people, right? And we can't be. And I think really finding your niche, which we hear that all the time, almost to the point where it becomes kind of a cliche, but really figuring out who are those people and knowing that you can show up authentically you. Just an example, maybe it's a bad one, but I swear a lot sometimes. And and that's how I would show up. And I know that not everybody maybe appreciates that, but some people are like, this is the chick I want to work with. She gets me. She's just being herself. And that's okay. I do a lot of public speaking and the person who was booking some things for me said, I want to put you in front of, it was a big national legal conference, but you're going to have to get rid of the videos that you maybe have dropped a swear word in here and there. And as much as I wanted to speak at that conference, my response was, maybe those really aren't my people. And if that's the case and I have to go delete things or be someone else, it might not be the right stage for me. And I think that as people start to learn that they can say no to certain things and then show up as themselves for the right audience that they're really going to resonate with, they're going to see that audience grow faster. But I think that audience is going to be far more loyal and far more connected. So our goal in getting in front of people and then making an impact for their business, which is one thing that's important to me, but also for ours, is making sure that you're being authentic, that you're building credibility. So whatever your personality or your little quirks are, you're really expressing to people that they should be listening to you because you know what you're talking about and here's my expertise. And then really being able to fulfill their needs and spending time knowing what they are so you can talk directly to those pain points. Or maybe they're looking to you for entertainment, education, inspiration, whatever it is, being yourself and knowing exactly who you're speaking to is just so, so important. So of all the advice I would give to somebody, I would say that's the way you bring in your audience and you keep them. You keep them close. You turn them into super fans that want to tell everybody how great you are. Go follow them here. Go join this group. Go listen to this podcast. Those are the people that are going to elevate you because they feel so connected.
Yeah. Love that. Oh, that's great. Bobby, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Our website is the easiest way. It's thinkbiggolocal.com. But we also use @thinkbiggolocal in every one of our social channels. So you could pop over to any one of those. We do have a private group on Facebook where we just offer up small social media tips as things are changing, social media news. The invitation to join that's right on our Think Big Go Local Facebook page.
Cool. Awesome. We'll include all that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Lori. This was a blast. It's always nice to talk to fellow marketers.
Most definitely. All right. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Bobby for taking the time to connect with us. If you have a burning marketing or relationship question, just reach out. I'd love to answer it on the show. As mentioned before, let's connect on LinkedIn. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. I hope you enjoyed today's show, and I want you to go out there and get noticed.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.